Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae.
Proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.
Yes, this is Future Proof on News Talk. It seems forever. I'm Jonathan McRae. You're very welcome back to the programme. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, you can email us science@newstalk.com. What if we could literally see what's going inside someone's mind? Not metaphorically, but frame by frame, see what they see. Well, scientists at UCL have taken a remarkable step into that direction with short films based purely on brain activity in mice. Here to tell me more is Dr. Joel Bauer, Research Fellow at the Sainsbury Wellcome Centre for Neural Circuits and Behaviour at University College London. Joel, thanks very much for joining us. So we've heard a bit of this sort of science coming out over the last maybe half a decade, right, where we've been able to get sort of what sounds like a ghost voices on drugs when we try and recreate the sound of what someone might have heard by looking at neural activity. But you're actually going one step further and looking at neural activity in the brain and trying to decode what's being seen. So talk to us through this experiment, because it is very, very interesting.
Yeah, thanks. So we took publicly available data, which was provided by a competition, which was held a couple of years ago, where the aim was to build deep neural networks or small AIs that could predict neural activity given what mice were watching, so movies. And we then took this data and the winning model from this competition, and we put a layer on top of this, essentially. We inverted the process. We did the reverse, as the models were intended for, which is namely to reconstruct what the mice saw given brain activity instead of predicting neural activity from what they saw.
So in the original data, this public data that you got, the mice watched films.
Exactly.
Yeah. Were they any good? Was it like The Matrix, or was it like the Marvel?
Mostly action movies.
Okay. Oh, right. Really? Any involving mice, like Ratatouille? Technically, I know, don't offend the mice here. Ratatouille is about rats, but were there any rodent-related movies, or was it like just high-octane stuff?
Not in this data set. I think the reason why they chose action movies is just because there's a lot of motion in it. Uh-huh. And that's kind of what the whole idea of this of these encoding models is, to try and predict neural activity given motion. And action movies obviously have a lot of motion in them.
Yeah. You wouldn't be one of using any Irish film that's made it to the BAFTAs over the last 5 years for that data set, that's for sure. So these films have a lot of motion, and the idea is that you got both. You didn't see the movies, right? You only saw the data that was collected from the neural circuits of the brain. So these mice were wired up, and every single cell firing was recorded, and that's what you had.
So we also had the ground truth movies.
Okay.
Because we had to compare the reconstructions to those ground truth movies. But in essence, you need both. You need both pairs of data to train the models. And then you take a new set of data where you only have initially the neural activity. Then you reconstruct the input, the movies, and then you compare those reconstructions to the real movies that they were shown, because you want to verify essentially that compare how close the reconstructions are.
Right. So you used AI to learn what a single neuron firing or a pattern of those look like in terms of a visual thing on the screen. And once you've trained it, then you looked at neural patterns and you try to figure out, look, if it's these neural patterns, they're looking at Tom Cruise jumping off a cliff.
Exactly.
I see. And so how did you get on?
The way this works is you start from a gray screen. So you feed the models gray screen, and then you slowly morph that gray screen into a video that induces the same neural activity as was recorded. So you kind of slowly morph it, slowly, sort of pixel by pixel, until you get what looks like a real movie.
Huh.
And it turns out that this works.
It was like a trial and error thing for every pixel in the, I presume this is not a very high definition picture we're talking about.
No, these are not very high definition in terms of spatial resolution. They are quite high in terms of video resolution or time resolution. But it's not necessarily every pixel one at a time,
yeah.
But you sort of globally morph each pixel or all the pixels at the same time in the direction that best simulates the neural activity.
Wow. So, I mean, this sounds almost like brute force, but it's not quite, is it?
It's called backpropagation. So
okay.
It's the technique that essentially that most neural networks are trained with. So you you calculate the loss or the error of your task, and then you backpropagate the gradient of that loss through the network, and then you essentially move towards an optimal solution step by step.
It's kind of like a game of Marco Polo in a way.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. So you're sort of trying to figure out what the image should look like by looking at the neural patterns and comparing it to what you have on your screen. Once you have that model trained, how close, if you're looking at fresh data where you haven't seen the movie, can you tell what it is?
It's not always so easy.
Yeah.
You can sometimes tell that it's like just about a face, but I would say they're not high resolution enough that you can really recognize objects if you didn't already have a good idea of what they were.
Yeah.
Like I'd say that we're also not as good necessarily yet, relative to how well mice can see. We're probably about 7 times worse in resolution than what mice can see, but it's also worth keeping in mind that, mice see about 30 times worse than humans. So these images are never going to be as crisp as...
Okay, so you're never going to get a 4K screen, even if you manage to map this perfectly. But
yeah.
Say, for example, if there were if you were given 10 scene suggestions and you watched this video back, would you be able to say which one it was?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay, wow. Okay, that's very cool. And so why did you do this?
So I'm interested in how mice see. I want to sort of understand how they perceive the world. And this is a tool that we can in the future use to try and compare how the brain's representation of an image or of a video compares with reality. What our brain does, we don't have pure reflections of what is out there. We have interpretations of reality. So they might be modified in some way. A good example of this would be visual illusions, for example, where we don't see what's out there in reality. We see some errors sometimes, or hallucinations is also a good example where, these are not the same thing as reality. They are something our brain puts on top of reality. Mm. These kinds of tools are quite useful, we hope, to try and understand that.
Right. So you're looking at how the world is put together in the mind of the mouse in terms of how it perceives the world. And that's presumably why you did this on neural data as opposed to, you know, retinal, you know, data that literally is just taking the input in, right? Because that would be useless.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd agree. The as you go deeper into the brain, the representations become more complex, if you will. There are also visual illusions already at the level of the retina.
Yeah.
But we're more interested in the sort of deeper layers. Yeah.
And so say you were able to get essentially a perfect replica of what a mouse sees when it's looking at a film. What would, if you could see that exactly, and we managed to get to that point, could you learn about how a mouse takes in visual information and then creates reality?
So one question we can ask is, so mice have a pretty different visual system to humans. It's similar in some ways. It's much more similar, for example, to us than it is to a crab. But there are still differences. The way the mouse's brain is structured in terms of its visual processing and the circuits involved. And we don't know how those differences sort of translate into difference in perception. They, for example, don't see, you know, the typical RG or red, blue, green colors. They see UV and green.
Yeah.
At least that's based on their retina. And it would be interesting to try and, you know, visualize that to try and understand that it is sort of at a deeper level.
And I suppose... understanding what the brain emphasizes at the same time, right? Because if this is from neural networks, the brain may be adding a layer of meaning onto what is seen. So, for example, if the video showed a cat, for example, maybe it would perceive that cat differently than, an animal that wasn't a predator. And you would be able to see that the difference between what the eye see and what the brain is putting together.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a famous experiment where, you know, humans are asked to watch a ball being thrown around between people wearing white T-shirts. And then when you do that task and you focus on the ball, then you don't see the gorilla walking in the background because it's a different color. And you're kind of, your attention is so focused on specific visual cues that you don't notice the rest. And it will be interesting to see how that translates into sort of image representations in the brain.
Yeah. It's called the IAT test. Is it Chalmers? I think it might be Chalmers. Have a look on it. If you've already heard the trick now, right? But look up the video. It's called the IAT test, and it's to do basketball gorilla test, right? Watch the video, and you'll see basketball players throwing a ball around, and then a gorilla goes through the scene. But because you're counting the ball, you don't notice it at all. And it's amazing when you see it for the first time and you're doing the task afterwards to realize that you've just missed an entire gorilla. It's a great one to show other people. And I suppose that those sort of things show us that actually our brains are discarding information all the time, right? And that's what you're hoping to learn from this. How does a brain discard and prioritize information that's important to it?
Exactly, yeah.
In terms of... in terms of humans, one of the things that I immediately thought of is, what if this could be used by nefarious agents who wanted to, plant an implant in someone's brain and be able to see what people see? But there's much easier ways just to spy on people, right? This would require a gargantuan task. But you could ask people questions and then record their activity as they imagine the answer and use it as a brain... A mind reading a device, could you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people are working on this, and it's really exciting work. And, you know, the tools that you can imagine that could come out of being able to turn your visual imagination onto paper, essentially, is really exciting. But it also sort of brings with it a bit of a privacy issue. If this is a sort of forced upon you, that's quite a scary thought, because you don't necessarily want to reveal everything that you imagine, because, you know, our brain is able to imagine and construct things that we wouldn't want to happen in reality, and we don't necessarily want to reveal that. And that's really important, that we maintain that privacy. So I think it is important that we have those discussions, not necessarily I don't want to block that research. We want to succeed in those tasks, but still we need to think about sort of the ethical implications of it at this point already, I think.
If anyone tried to hijack my brain in that way, I would immediately start thinking of them as vividly as I could with no clothes on. And then it would just pop up on the screen and they'd be really embarrassed and have to run away. And I would have, and then I'd break free of the chains, and I've gone off on one now, haven't I? I watched a spy movie last night, and I've gotten too excited. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is this idea of dreams, because obviously dreams fascinate people. I used to do a talk show, right? And we banned talking about dreams on the talk show, except for every 6 months. Because when we did, it went on and on. We got so many texts, and it was all the same stuff. People think their dreams are fascinating. Your dreams are boring. Everybody has the same dreams as you, and they're just not very interesting for the most part. Although if you do have a really good dream, go on. You can email us, science@newstalk.com. We'll read out the best ones. I'll just do this once. I'll never do this again, because you do get a lot of messages. If you have a really good dream, you can email us, science@newstalk.com. But we people loved talking about them, and they really wanted them understood. And I put my hand on heart. I'm very embarrassed about this. We had a dream interpreter on a good few times, and I just, as a science broadcaster, I just kept my mouth shut. But we interpreted people's dreams, and they loved it. But it's all a bit of nonsense. It would be interesting to see what people actually dream, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, that's also kind of a line of research in mice as well. We want to understand sort of when you dream about what and why, and how an experience is sort of replayed in during a dream or during recollection, in terms of how is it modified, and how does that influence what you learn from sort of those internally generated modified memories.
Yeah, it'd be fascinating to learn what mice dream about. Like, obviously, the first thing you go to is cheese, but then maybe, you know, they're lying in bed kind of thinking about what Mr. Squeak said to them earlier in the corridor. Like, you know, you don't know. You don't know.
Absolutely.
We've verged into farce, I'm afraid, Dr. Barr, so I will let you go. Dr. Joel Barr is a research fellow at the Sainsbury Wellcome Centre for Neural Circuits and Behaviour at UCL. Really interesting research. Best of luck with it. Thanks, Joel.
Thanks so much.
Future Proof Extra
with Jonathan McRae,
proudly supported by Research Ireland
on News Talk.